we're going to sing a chorus, and I just can't get this out of my mind. Keep on walking by faith, so that's what we'll sing. I don't know how else to walk in these last days. We sure do need faith. And Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Faith is a very rare thing these days. But thank God, because we know it's a gift from heaven, and the Lord does give it to us so that we can serve him. Let's sing the chorus, Keep On Walking by Faith, as we open our Bibles to Revelation 14.
Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a praise today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, a lot of things have happened since last Sunday. We have a new president. That fixes everything, doesn't it? Now you can breathe easier, right? We are drawing ever closer to the Lord's coming. Powers of Antichrist have risen up. The signs of the times are ever with us. Prophecy is being fulfilled with precision before our very eyes, every day of the week. Amen. I've never seen it like this before. And this is exciting because our Lord is coming. Maranatha, our Lord is on his way to finalize all of this. Thank God. We are in Revelation chapter 14 today, continuing on in a message, but I can't just pick up exactly where I left off. I need to back up a few verses. But before we even do that, I'd like to pray and ask the Lord for his help, because I know, and I'm sure that you know, that without him we can do nothing. That we must always walk humbly before him and assume nothing, but rather walk in the will of God and say, thy will be done. In fact, the scripture tells us that we're not supposed to ever even make a declaration without saying, the Lord willing. If the Lord will. You see? We need to be that locked into his will, that absorbed in his will. So, shall we ask the Lord for his help? Dear Father in heaven, these are trying times, and we're all facing many, many difficulties of every kind, physical difficulties, some financial difficulties, every kind of thing imaginable. And, oh Lord, we know that this world is a hostile environment for those that would believe in thee and would serve thee. But Lord, I know that by thy Spirit, thou wilt guide and direct us, for thou art ever with us. Thou art able to open doors where there are no doors. Thou art able to make a way where there is no way. And I pray, Lord, this morning that thou wouldst help each one of us to seek hard after thee, O Lord, to reach out to thee with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to open our hearts and to receive thy will, thy goodness, thy compassion, thy grace, and thy mercy. For there are many battles yet to fight. And, O Lord, I know that without thee there is no hope. But in thee there is hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. We thank thee for what we do know and what thou hast given us. We give thee glory for it, O Lord. And I pray now that thy word would come alive within us, that thou wouldst sweep over our souls and fill us with the Holy Ghost. O Lord, I pray that thou wouldst come in and take complete control in our lives and show us thy ways and lead us by thy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Let Satan be bound, rebuked, cast out, made powerless in thy holy presence, O God. And let thy perfect will be done now. Give us victory over all sin and evil, over every evil thought, word, and deed. Lord, give us victory that we might be thy children, O God, and walk victoriously in thy name. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I know that we're all challenged that the devil's out there. He's the tempter. He's the wicked one. He's the evil one. And he's always throwing things at us. But we can have victory through the blood because Jesus was victorious on the cross. Amen.
Amen.
We are in Revelation 14. And we're going to start with verse 6. I know we made it all the way over to about 11 or 12 last time, but we're backing up just a little bit because I want to emphasize the messages, I should say, really it's all one, but divided up, of these angels that God sent. And by the way, chapter 14 of Revelation is one of those chapters where it is an overview picture of all the things that had happened to that point. The Lord is, you know, as you read the book of Revelation, it's not necessarily sequential, as many books are. But you read a number of things that are going on, and it's all metaphor, it's word picture, which makes it so powerful. God is showing us by pictures and of all those things that will happen. And you get to this particular chapter. 12 is another one like unto this. It's an overview. So is 13. But 14 will show us something that encompasses a certain period of time. And by overview, I mean it's a whole picture, an entire scenario. Now let's see what happens. These angels come flying through the heavens. Isn't that an awesome thing? And in verse 6, and this is a message, folks, this is for the last days, the ones you're living in. For us, now, in 2009. Verse 6, he says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." You see, this is the most precious, the most wonderful thing there is the everlasting gospel. There is nothing that could come close to its value, because it saves us from sin, from death, and from hell. And right now this world is full of sin, full of death, and people are on their way to hell. And the gospel is what rescues us from that. When you believe and receive and obey the gospel. You know, I find it amazing that so many people think that all they have to do with the gospel is raise their hand to it. I accept it. I accept it. You know, acceptance is a very simple thing. You know, I can understand that's a wonderful thing to accept, but where do you go from there? Billy Graham had massive meetings, you know, in coliseums and stadiums, and had people raise their hand, and that saved them. And he gives them a little book and says, "Go back to your church. Whether you're Catholic or Lutheran or Methodist, just go back to your church. Here's a little book. Now your name's in the book of life because you went to a Billy Graham meeting and raised your hand." The Word of God tells us that the gospel must be obeyed. As a matter of fact, if you read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says that when the Lord comes back, he will come back with flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not the Lord and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obey not. You know, it's not something you just acknowledge. There has to be an obedience. How do I obey the gospel? First, I have to define it. What is the gospel? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, tells me clearly the gospel is the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. That's the gospel. It's comprised of three things: death, burial, resurrection. Therefore, if I am to obey it, I die to my sins. There's the death. I'm in Jesus Christ because of repentance, and conversion begins to work. I'm buried with him in baptism. Romans chapter 6, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 19. I'm buried with him in baptism. That's the burial. I rise to walk again in newness of life, being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the gospel. You don't find the gospel in little catechism books. You don't find it in little church manuals. You see, it's the everlasting gospel. Another thing I like about the way he said that is it never changes. It's the everlasting gospel. It doesn't change with a Reformation Day. I don't believe in Reformation Day. You know, the Lutherans say, well, on October 31st, interesting day, huh? That everything changed. There was a big Reformation. And on that Reformation Day, then the Lutherans came out from the Catholics, and later on others came out from the Catholics, and they all were born of the harlot, weren't they? Because they came out from the Catholics. Am I being unkind? I'm just trying to lay it out for you. And if it sounds unkind, I guess that's too bad. That's just the way it is. We have to face reality, folks. These churches today are about worthless. Come on. Amen. Big gathering places of people. Sometimes you can gather them by the thousands. But I've talked with people. I hear from thousands of people, literally, that write me letters. And I don't mean to be disrespectful or unkind, but these people know almost nothing. And some have gone to church all their life and they know nothing. It's not entirely their fault, but because it's the church they were going to, these pastors know almost nothing about the Bible. They're taught Aristotelian logic and counseling techniques and this and that and the other thing. But when you get down to thus saith the Lord, thus saith the word of God, they don't know. They don't know the tabernacle plan. They don't really know the gospel. And in a survey, 96% of all the ministers claiming to be Christian do not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. 75% do not believe he rose from the dead. What have you got? You've got buildings full of witchcraft with a cross on the roof. And inside, you've got transcendental meditation. You got Eastern religion. Oh, all right. We need the everlasting gospel. We need to see people moved upon by the Spirit of God, brought to a place of repentance, true conversion. Come on. The Word of God says, except ye repent. Jesus said it. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Everybody, we must repent. Now, here's this angel flying through the heavens in the last days, right now. This is God's last call. And this everlasting gospel is to be preached to all those that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Because there's something else going on with all of these people. They are being corralled into an Antichrist system and prepared to receive the very mark of the beast himself. And this is happening as we watch. As we look around, we see it. And it says in verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God. See, with that gospel call, there's the command, fear God. Now, fear there means to have an awesome respect for the Lord. What do we have today? A bunch of comedians in the pulpit just making a big joke out of everything. You see? Now, I like to laugh when things are funny, and sometimes the ridiculous is funny. Sometimes you have to put in a jab or two like Elijah did. Remember what he said about the prophets of Baal? Here they're trying to get the prophets, or the prophets of Baal, rather, trying to get Baal to answer by fire. And he shouldn't have no problem with that, being the sun god. And fire is his representation on earth, which is why they light candles to him. You know why they have all these candles in the Catholic Church, these other churches? Because the flame, in a religious sense, is Baal's presence on earth. Now, I have no problem with a scented candle if you want to just, you know, get the stale air out of your house. Or if you just have a candle for lighting purposes or whatever. But when you have it for religious purposes, then you've got trouble. We don't need that. Because Baal was always, as he was manifested himself on earth, it was always through the flame. The Beltane Baal fire of witchcraft on May 1st. They jump over the Baal fire. You know, I saw a picture, our U.S. military, they have a lot of witches in the military, you know. And they build, on May 1st, they build a fire they call the Sacred Baal Fire, a lot of these bases. And they get all the witches together, and they jump over the fire. And that's in honor of Baal, the sun god. Of course, you remember that little nursery rhyme, Jack be nimble, Jack be quick, Jack jump over the candlestick. All those nursery rhymes are witchcraft. And they teach the... Why do they have nursery rhymes? Why do they make nursery rhyme books? Mother Goose and all that. To teach little children witchcraft early on up. Right. Tell them Bible stories. Come on. Every one of these Mother Goose things are satanic. If you go to the library and get a Mother Goose book, of course, at your age, they'd probably look at you funny. But if you get a Mother Goose book once and open it, look in the fly leaf on the front cover, and it'll have their hallmark nursery rhyme. And what does it say? And you can look in Childcraft Encyclopedia as well, in the Mother Goose area. Their number one hallmark nursery rhyme is, "How far to Babylon? 70. Can I get there by candlelight? Yes, and back again." And it goes on and downhill from there. Is that something for little children to learn? How do I get to Babylon? By candlelight. I get there and I get back again. 70, meaning I reincarnate. When I die, I come back again. 70 is the lifespan, right? You know, people read this stuff and they read it to the children. Isn't that cute? The cow jumped over the moon, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Hey, diddle, diddle, the cat and the fiddle. Those are all, if you look at these were designed by witches for witches to perpetuate witchcraft. Of course, that's why the government pays for these daycare centers and preschools and Head Start, a lot of federal money for Head Start, to get these children indoctrinated. In the public schools, they have witchcraft in their activities. We are facing some terrible times, folks. You can't go by how it was. You have to look at how it is now. And this has been a progressive thing, and it's getting worse. And we have to take the initiative as Christians to begin to expose it more and more and more. See, I've got a little problem, you know. Having come out of the occult, everywhere I look, I see it. And I see it because it's there. And people that don't know about it don't know it's there. And so it's very frustrating for me to see people do certain things and say certain things and get involved in certain things. Sometimes you would just like to take people and unscrew the top of their head and pour in 5 quarts of discernment. Give them a complete oil change, you know? It's amazing to me. But anyway, more in a minute. First of all, this angel with a loud voice is saying, "Fear God." In other words, be moved, be shaken by Him. "And give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." So he's saying here, look at the very creation itself and worship the Creator. Of course, science would tell us we don't have a creator. This all got here by itself. You see, you look at the birds and the flowers and of course, I know it's winter right now. Look at the snowflakes, whatever you want to look at, and you will see a beautiful design in it all. I remember I was up in the laboratory. I'll tell you how this happened. I was working at Oshkosh at the university, and Dr. Hine, anatomy professor, happened to notice I was having trouble with my hands. He said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Carpal tunnel." And, of course, we worked out a series of exercises that cleared it up. He's an anatomy professor. He said, "Never, ever, ever have carpal tunnel surgery. It's a hoax. Carpal tunnel surgery is very dangerous. One false move and you lose the use of your hand. And if it's successful, scar tissue builds up and it comes right back again and it's worse than it was." Simple little exercises like this and this and this and this and down and so forth. I'm not going to give you all that teaching right now, but it's basically it. 10 rounds of that once a day and it clears up. Never came back. You stretch the tunnel so it's not irritated anymore. But what do? You go to the doctor. "Oh, you need surgery. We got to cut, hack, and slice, and we'll fix you right up. And, well, it's going to cost you some money." See, that's why they got this big sign up there, AMA, remember, American Money Association. Right? Anyway, Dr. Hine had me, he said, "Here, I'll show you how that works." And he took me into the laboratory, and he pulled up a dead body, a cadaver. He pulled these chains, just like Frankenstein, you know, pulled these chains, and this thing opened up, and this dead body came up out of the alcohol. And he had one all taken apart, and he showed me where the tunnel was and everything, and gave me a probe, put rubber gloves on. I thought it would freak me out, but it didn't. But anyway, he's showing me all the workings of how that was and everything. And then he grabbed a human skull. He said, "Isn't this something, how this skull is designed?" It was a real human skull. I said, "What'd you say, Doc?" He said, "How it's designed." I said, "Ah, if it was designed, it had a designer. We didn't get here by ourselves. God made us by design. The flowers have a design. Right? The birds have a design. The colors, some of the magnificent colors on these birds, they have a design. Then didn't they have a designer?" But you know, people don't want to admit that, because if they admit that, then they have to go to the next step and the next step, and they'll come to the realization there is a God in heaven. And pretty soon you begin to realize, well, if that's the case, there's a devil. And he likes to hang out at the White House. Well, well, well. More in a minute. Now, we are to fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. So, it's time. It's high time when we see the judgment of God. And you know, there's a lot of judgment forthcoming. You know how I know that? Because we have a huge problem in this world. No, it's not global warming. It's global sinning. There's the problem. But of course, they're not going to talk about that. No, instead, they'll fix the global warming that doesn't exist. That's why they're going to put a $150 tax on every cow. Because, did you know that? Oh yeah, I mentioned it last week, that's right. And steers, they're going to be $95. Cows are $150 because they have more flatulence. So they're releasing all this gas, this methane, into the atmosphere and destroying our ozone layer. You got to blame something. And see, by paying $150 per cow, $95 per steer, they can take that money and fight global warming and the greenhouse effect and all this and the gases and all. Yeah. What are they going to do next? Are they going to put high tax on beans and things that create flatulence in people? Don't be surprised. Don't give them any thoughts. They'll do it. They'll tax anything they can. Now, I keep talking about these multi-billion dollar tax cuts. Don't be fooled by that. That revenue has to come from somewhere. Now, so we are to look at the fact that judgment is now beginning to happen. It will crescendo until the final judgment. But at the same time, you have the gospel. Do you see the contrast here? It's heaven and hell. The gospel and judgment. How are we saved from that? The effect of the judgment of God by the blood of Jesus Christ, by that gospel. By yielding ourselves, mind, will, emotions, our heart and our soul unto the Lord. Now in verse 8 it says, another angel comes. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Here's something that involves all nations. All nations. The satanic infrastructure of all nations will fall. In fact, is already falling. I read a little story that Iceland now has totally collapsed. Or Finland, I'm sorry, Iceland too, but Finland has collapsed. The economy is, the government has collapsed. Remember, no government has ever outlived its economy in all of history. When the economy goes, so does the government. And a new one rises in its place. That is historically accurate. Mexico is on the verge of collapse. England is on the verge of collapse. In fact, by the end of this year, they said England will have only two banks. Only two will be left. Then there will be one. In the United States, do you see the same thing happening? We are in a condition of collapse. Banks are folding. They are merging. Their stock becomes junk stock. The government buys it up, is creating a bank that, an aggregate bank, to buy up all the debts and all the bad stuff of the bank. You know, there's going to be one bank at the end. It's going to be the government bank. They're going to regulate all buying and selling. They're going to regulate it by computer. And that's where you've got the mark of the beast. That's what you're seeing right now, the shakeup with all these banks. They're literally sabotaging the economy. Even Starbucks is laying off 1,000 people. People used to go and get a cup of coffee for a dime years ago. Or a nickel, if you go back a little ways. Get a donut for a dime. If you had a quarter in your pocket, you'd do pretty well. A couple of donuts and a cup of coffee. Not that it was good for you, but you could do it. Now, you go, if you went to Starbucks, you can drop $10. And you know, they have all these fancy lattes and mochas. And you know, I never knew what that stuff was until recent years. So you've got to be in the upper echelons of thinking. You got to get with it. You have to have that young urban professional attitude, that yuppie attitude, right? You got to have two incomes. Send your wife out to work, have her have two incomes. You have two incomes. Double incomes everywhere. Then you can go out and be a real, you can get in with this stuff. You can be in the upper crust. That's the American dream, right? Just remember, the upper crust are nothing but a bunch of crumbs held together with a lot of dough. That's your upper crust. Anyway, who needs it? Besides, all of that is going to crumble and fall. Our nation is literally falling apart. Coming apart at the seams. Of course, we know Circuit City is out. The whole thing is out. Other businesses are rapidly going out. What's happening here? And you know, it's so clear when you understand the Bible. The banks are failing. The economy is failing. Everything's going downhill. But the Lord's still with us. And He will see us through and He'll take care of us. But Babylon is falling. The Babylonian religious system, the Babylonian money system, all the systems of Babylon are beginning to crumble because God's judgment is rising up. And this was the message of that angel. Babylon is fallen, is fallen. No, the angel wasn't stuttering. Angels don't stutter. The reason he says is fallen, is because that seals it. Remember when Pharaoh had a dream and he had it twice? And another dream and had it twice? And when Joseph came and interpreted those dreams, he said to Pharaoh, because you dreamed it twice, the thing is sealed. The thing is absolute. It cannot be changed. When God says something twice in a row, there is nothing that could ever change it. When Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," hey, nothing can change that. We call that a proof text. That except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, well, well. So, that's what the Word says. Now, I realize there's a lot of churches would say, they play that down. Hey, you can find a church to do anything. There's churches that do everything. Well, do you see, does this get to you? I mean, you know, it really gets to me when I look at how the devil has this all, he's gone through this world with so many kinds of deception, and people are twisted and turned so many different ways, they can't make head or tails out of anything. They can't think anymore. That's why they need the clear message of the gospel. Verse 9 says, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, not watered down. It isn't mixed. It's straight wrath. All right? Into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. We'll read the next verse. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now, what are we seeing with this? And what is the urgency here? How do we relate this to right now? Well, as I said a few minutes ago, it's a little different than it was a week ago. We have a new president now. And he hasn't wasted any time. He's already signed legislation he didn't waste any time with this one at all. U.S. government funding for abortions both here and abroad. That's your tax money in action. But you know, it's really interesting when you look at that day. Tuesday, January 20th. He comes riding up there in his brand new Cadillac limousine that the Secret Service named the Beast. I wouldn't get in a car that was called the Beast. A black Cadillac limo named the Beast. Of course, the car isn't really the Beast, it's the guy inside. All right? So, some say, well, he can't be the Antichrist. Oh, you can't say that, and you can't say... Well, if he isn't the real one, he'll do fine until the real one comes along. But right now, he's doing pretty well at the job. So, he's up there, and not by himself. There's a great military presence with him. Just like when Adolf assumed office. Big military presence. Right? Now, he's up there, and he's got the Supreme Court Chief Justice, who's going to administer the oath of office. Not only is he there with him and with Lincoln's Bible, but he's also there with two holy men. Not one, but two. Now, I put that word holy, those words holy men in quotation marks. You understand what I'm saying? I don't think they're holy men, but he presented them that way. Let's look at the two. Rick Warren of Saddleback Church. You know why they call it Saddleback Church? There's a lot of horsing around going on there. Huh? And you know, you would think, and I've heard him speak, and basically he says nothing. He says a lot of things that Masons would recognize. He uses their terminology. This former hard rock heavy metal musician who said he still loves it. This one who said that we are so fortunate to be living in the United States and speaking English because we have so many Bibles to choose from. Boy, there's a real capacity for love for the Word of God, isn't there? That's like saying, oh, this is a wonderful country. I got so many women to choose from. Same thing. Come on. That sounds awful, doesn't it? But when you say, oh, all these wonderful Bibles to choose from, there's only one that's right, only one that's faithful, only one that is true, and all the rest are of the harlot. Amen. So here's Rick Warren, member, proud member of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is the Illuminati in the United States. Now, a woman wrote to me regarding my January issue. She's from down in Texas. And she was all upset and all lathered up and rankled and bent out of shape because I said that Rick Wilson, I am wound tight today. Rick Warren is a member of the CFR. She said, how do you know that? Where is the proof? So I ran off, it ended up being 13 pages, interestingly enough, from the website of the Council on Foreign Relations, with his name there, as a featured speaker, as a new member in 2007, it had it all there. Rick Warren, they called him the Reverend, and they didn't even put R-E-V, they spelled it out, Reverend Rick Warren. The CFR is Luciferian, their God is Satan. I know that for a fact. What other members are there? Would you join something that Kissinger belonged to? Or the Rockefellers. Of course, the Rockefellers are Baptists, you know. Did you know that? They're Luciferian Baptists. They're a member of the American Baptist Church. In fact, their church, Riverside Church in New York City, stands 25 stories high and covers an entire city block. I've been in there. That's their church. I talked to the receptionist in there. And it was about 2 weeks after Castro was there speaking. How would you like Castro to speak in your church? Mass murderer? But he was welcome there. And I said to the receptionist, isn't this where Castro was speaking? She said, yes, a couple weeks ago. I said, well, I would like to speak here. I said, how do you get to speak here? She said, you would have to be invited. Castro was invited, I wasn't. Fidel Castro. You know, the guy with a goofy little hat and a cigar sticking out of his mouth with a machine gun? Castro. Invited to the Baptist church. But see, that was Rockefeller Church. I said, who pays for all this? 25 stories high, this big church. She said, the Rockefellers. This is their church. American Baptist Convention. And then they had a big sign of a special room you could go to. There was a meeting, going to be a meeting that night. The rite of passage. It was a witchcraft meeting to be held in there. When are we going to realize that these churches are satanic? It's Satan's decoys. They got all the things that look like we think a church should look like. Well, now I'm not fooled by it. I walk in these places and it's spooky. Come on. And they go into all this chanting. Did you ever walk into a Catholic church recently? Anybody? You're not missing a thing. Have you ever been in one? Oh! And they're up there and they got this chanting. Is it Gregorian chants? Curdle the milk. I mean, it's awful. And they have their... all this pipe organ. It sounds like something out of a Dracula movie, you know. Pipe organ playing. And et filio filiae. All this Latin. Rex tre laestis rex gloriae. Et filiae hodie. Alleluia, alleluia. Ad nauseum. And that's supposed to fix you right up. And when they're finished with that, they make a beeline to the bar. Of course, if I had to sit through that, I probably would too. I'd rather know the Lord. And the biggest hope is, oh, we must make a pilgrimage to Rome to kiss the Pope's ring. Or the foot of the statue of Peter. And they have all these shrines and statues, and nothing could be more pagan than that. Do you know how many people would be mad at me for what I'm preaching right now? Oh, a billion. Just a billion. Could so many be so wrong? I think we know the answer to that. But here's Barack in saying, pardon me, who's saying Obama. And he's up there to take the oath of office, and he's got Rick Warren, this member of the CFR. You know, Rick Warren actually is the modern-day Harry F. Ward. Anybody remember who Harry F. Ward is? If you go back to the 1940s, late 1940s, and even before that, Dr. Ward was being groomed, but he really got busy around that time. Dr. Harry F. Ward was teaching at Union Theological Seminary in New York City, training ministers to go out as United Methodists to fill pulpits. And he was handpicked by Rockefeller to destroy religion in America. That was his job. That was one of the four directives of the Illuminati blueprint, was to destroy religion. That was the fourth directive of the blueprint, destroy religion in America. Rockefeller handpicked Dr. Ward. He became a professor at Union Theological Seminary. And his job was to cast doubts in the minds of young ministers who would be going out to fill pulpits. Later on, every denomination was welcome to be trained at Union Theological. If you're from Union, you got a job, you got a pulpit. Boy, that is the de jure school. I've been through there twice, in the front door and out the other. But I did stop along the way. I read their bulletin boards. I watched them get ready for a gay wedding. They were doing two female ministers, Methodists, going to get married to each other and all this kind of stuff. I kind of took a few notes, mental notes, just looking around in there. They had a happy hour at 4 o'clock with plenty of booze rolling. They had their own saloon right in the seminary. 4 o'clock, happy hour. Special on drinks. Entertainment, the whole works. So, Dr. Ward was given the job to destroy religion in America, and he didn't do it by direct attack of the doctrines of the Bible, but by casting doubts, crafty casting of doubts. Do you, teaching these an auditorium full of young, upcoming ministers, do you really believe in the virgin birth? Do you really? And he'd work on that, and he'd tear that doctrine down. Do you really believe that Jesus rose from the dead? And you know, you might, to you, yeah, it makes you clench your fist. Let's get this guy. No. No, it upsets you though, doesn't it? I mean, it just really gets to you. But no, he did it in such a way that they would listen. Before long, they didn't know what they believed anymore. And that's why when you have all these ministers going out there into the pulpits in these various churches and take their missions offerings, it was proved that the majority of the missions offerings went to Castro, Sukarno, and other communists so they could mass murder people. They literally were taking missions collections in the churches, funneling them through the Federal Council of Churches. See, Dr. Ward started an organization called the Federal Council of Churches. And in the 1950s, tail gunner Joe McCarthy exposed them. Of course, McCarthy's the dirty word nowadays, isn't it? But he made the connections as far as who the communists were. And he showed that the offerings to the United Methodist Church were going over to Castro. And as late as 20 years ago, I talked to a woman in Horicon, the treasurer of a Methodist church, United Methodist, and I pointed out to her a Reader's Digest article, of all places, where they proved in there and had all the documentation that they were still sending their offerings to communists. She said, "I don't believe that." And she checked it out. And she came back to me and said, "It's true." She said, "I'm so disappointed. But that's where our money is going, a good percentage of it, going to communist leaders." And so the Federal Council of Churches became a dirty word. Dirty words, I should say. So they disorganized. They broke it. They changed it. But only the name. Now it was the National Council of Churches. You've heard of that one. And the World Council of Churches working along with it. At the Unity Center, Church Center. It's right over by Riverside Church in New York on Amsterdam Avenue. I was in there too. And I'll tell you what, it is a conspiracy to destroy anything that is truly Christian. And so if you want to destroy Christianity, what do? You have a decoy that calls itself Christian. And you tear it to shreds, and that's what they've been doing. And Rick Warren at Saddleback Church, where did he get that name? Is it because of the horsing around? I don't know. And if they would think a little bit, they don't even exercise horse sense there. They'd see through it. What is horse sense? Stable thinking. Right? But they don't even think. If they would think, they would start to see a little bit. But by the thousands, they sit in that auditorium and listen to him with his social gospel, with his philosophies, with his psychology, and that's all they get. And that's why the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, has promoted him and given him the job to oversee all the religion of America. Did you know that? It's in their own writings. Rick Warren is in command. At the behest of the CFR, the Illuminati itself, to oversee religion in America. There's the man handpicked by one Barack Obama to stand there as his holy man. But one wasn't enough. He had to have Gene Robinson of New Hampshire, an Episcopal bishop who was a married man, had a wonderful wife and children, and he left them and went to live with a man as a homosexual, and now presides as a bishop and is one of the most outspoken queers in the country. You may say, "Are you calling them queers? You can't do that." Hey, where have you been to sensitivity training? They call themselves Queer Nation. Did you ever hear that? Well, then where's the insult? I didn't call them the Tooth Fairy. Come on. We've got trouble, folks. But here is Gene Robinson up there to give this special prayer. I didn't want to hear it. I don't want to hear some little limp-wristed pansy boy who left his family, became a bishop in the Episcopal Church, living carnally with a man. I don't want to hear that. But he was hand-picked by Obama, who counseled with him on three occasions before the election. What could that man possibly teach Barack Obama? Then, the oath of office. The man who drove up in the beast car with these two religious men standing at his side with a heavy military presence goes into the oath of office. And the Chief Justice began to administer it and used inverted word order. Some people said, "Oh, that was just an honest mistake." Not if you know what's going on in the occult, because they do it all the time. In the occult, when you take an oath to become a witch, to become a wizard, in any of the orders, you invert the word order. And it's precisely what they did right on schedule. And of course, Barack repeated it back that way. There he is, Lincoln's Bible. He's got his left hand on Lincoln's Bible. You may say, well, what's wrong with that? He's left-handed. Then why is it when he was in Germany? And here's this big crowd of human heads out there as far as the eye could see. And he lifted his right hand in a Hitlerian salute. If he's left-handed, what's he doing with his right hand up? He is left-handed, by the way. The Latin word for left is sinister, by the way. He's got a left hand on the Bible, takes the oath backwards, inverted word order, and the word that they displaced, interestingly enough, is faithfully. Faithfully is the word they took out and put it at the end. Is this coincidence? Is this a simple mistake? No, but you know, to be sure, and Barack Obama said later, you know, he said, in case any of my critics and enemies call attention to that I'm not really the president, I'll take it again. So on the 22nd of January, when the sun had moved out of the cusp of Aquarius and was fully into the sign of Aquarius, the 11th sign of the zodiac, you've got Barack Obama, and you've got the Chief Justice, they're in the White House, and this time it was specified, no Bible. And they made a point of it in the news, Reuters and AP and all of them, no Bible. And then he said it the regular way. You know, sometimes no matter which way you turn your head, you smell a rat. And this sort of thing continues to go on and on. And now he has Rahm Emanuel with him every minute. Now, whenever you see him, Rahm Emanuel is there. Who is Rahm? It's almost like the beast and the false prophet. You know, here's Rahm Emanuel. Rahm meaning high and lofty one. Emanuel meaning God with us. And this guy is like a retired teacher. He has no class at all. He's got this habit of popping his knuckles loud. You can hear him snap, 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 snap. And it irritates Obama, so Obama called his attention to it. He said, stop popping your knuckles. And he put them right up to Obama's ear and snapped them again. Like, I'm in charge here. And Obama didn't say anything. He frequently extends his middle finger. This guy has no class at all. He was trained well in the Clinton camp. And I am sorry to have to say things like this, but it's terrible. What kind of people, the Clintons, you know, they had Rahm Emanuel working for them. By the way, the Clintons are very much insiders in this thing. Hillary, of course, being Secretary of State. But John reminded me last week, I did see that in print years ago, I forgot about it, but John reminded me last week, when the Clintons were in the White House, they had their personal Christmas tree there, and they had their Christmas tree decorated with condoms and sex toys hanging off the branches. Isn't that enough to make you sick? These are the people leading our country! And just wait, because you ain't seen nothing yet. They're just getting started, folks. And there is a beast power that is rising up. Anyway, I sent this woman all this information about Rick Warren and his membership and promotions within 1 year. They are raising him to stardom. This is their new Dr. Harry F. Ward, Destroy Religion in America. A purpose-driven life. Something's got to be driving you. Somebody's purpose. Someone's purpose has to drive you in your life. Now, wouldn't you prefer to be led by the Spirit of God? I realize these things are hard. I know I'm saying things that I wish I didn't even have to say. But somebody better wake us up. Let's look at the reality of the thing here. I can understand why God is going to send divine judgment on all this. I can fully understand it. And the Word of God tells us, it's just this serious. If you buy into this thing, if you worship the beast, now some people think, well, of course, a lot of people would never do that. They're not going to bow down to this. You don't have to bow down. Let's define our terms. If we use words and we don't know the meaning, they're not in our vocabulary. People use words all the time that aren't in their vocabulary because they don't know the meaning. Worship means to give your heart. Are people giving their hearts to Barack Obama? You don't have to bend the knee, at least not yet. They're giving their hearts. This man from northern New Jersey, up by Lumberton, New Jersey, sent me this picture of medallions that are being sold throughout our country. And these medallions, bronze medallions with a chain to wear around your neck, have a picture of Obama with a big grin smiling through his floss teeth and just big smile on his face, and underneath it says, "Save us." And people are supposed to wear that around their neck? I thought there was only one Savior. In fact, there is only one Savior. And now NASA, we know about that, don't we? The National Aeronautics and Space Administration, their scientists said the Earth is in trouble, that there is global warming, that there is greenhouse gases, there are greenhouse gases going on and all this stuff is happening, and they issued a statement saying, and these are their exact words, "Obama has exactly 4 years to save the Earth." NASA scientists. That's how much faith and confidence they're putting in him. Medallions that say, "Save us." NASA saying, "Save the Earth." You know, there's another problem. Our sun gives off this protective blanket from its... It's a kind of a... It goes from the exosphere of the sun out throughout the solar system, and it prevents harmful rays from penetrating the Earth. That has diminished by 25% in the past 10 years. That has nothing to do with cows giving off gas. How long have we had cows and steers? They've been around a while? That's not the problem. What's really the problem is the hot air coming out of Obama's mouth. That's the problem. Jesus said it's what comes out of the man that defiles him. Unfortunately, it defiles the entire country. And I hear these pusillanimous radio talk show hosts saying, "I hope he succeeds," the right-wing ones. Several of them in Milwaukee. "Oh, I hope Obama succeeds." Succeeds at what? Here is a guy that grew up eating snakes and dogs. So we have a snake-eating, dog-eating, baby-killing president who took his oath backwards and refused to use the Bible when he did it the other way. Come on, put it together. Rides around in a beast car. We know that from the numbers I gave you, the sequence of numbers last week. Remember those, don't you? How the latitude of the place of his supposed birthplace is the cubed root of 6, or 666. What was that? Let's see once. What do we have? 21.6 north latitude, right? And it was born on the 216th day of the year, which is also the cube of 6666. 6 times 6 times 6 brings you to that total. And on, I covered that all last week, so I won't do it again. But we have a lot of indicators. One more thing that must be brought out that's vitally important is this beast, when he would come forth, would have a terrific job to do. And you can read about that in Revelation 13, the latter part of the chapter. He would have the job of straightening out an economy and bringing forth a new one to the extent that no man might buy or sell. Buying and selling, economic conditions, a money system would be under his control. What did they say is the number one task, and all the news is saying this, all the media, his number one job is to straighten out the economy. And what are they saying? There's no way to fix it but to start over. That means your government has failed. It is going down in flames, and from the ashes is to rise a new one. All described in the Word of God for you. And this new television thing they're coming out with now, where the old ones don't work, the analog, they're going to digital, that's to accommodate their new spy system. In case people haven't figured that out yet. I was talking to a dear friend of mine, Harry Parks. He's gone on to his reward now from down in Florida. He was a pastor down there, and he had also taken a course to help supplement his income. He had taken a course in television repair. And they told him in his school where he was studying it that down in the lower right-hand corner of the picture tube, there's a little area, and it's built right into the tube, that actually is a receiver, and it can watch you right in your home. All right? And this would be, this information be transferred into the computer. They could listen for buzzwords. They could literally watch you in your home. So he said, I'm going to try something. He took a piece of black electrical tape and covered that spot on his own television set at home. And within a couple of days, there was a knock on his door from the cable company. He said, are you having trouble with your set? He said, no, I get good reception. They said, we got a signal here that you're having trouble with reception with your set. Can we take a look at it for you? He said, no, I'm fine. He sent him out. He blocked that little receiver. They couldn't watch him. You might say, how can they watch so many people with computers? We're talking about high-tech stuff here. We got satellites going around the earth. Even the Pope's got his own satellite. What does he need one for? Is there a rosary hanging off from it? He's got his own observatory, big telescope up on a mountain. They call it the Pope Scope. What is all this stuff? What is all this high-tech goings on? We are in a world in transition. How much is operating right now without computers? What can you do anymore that doesn't require a computer? You can't flush your toilet without activating a computer. You know why? Because at the disposal plant, they got computers regulating the sewage. The incoming water into your house, the electricity, everything is computerized. We have the word computer. The word computer adds up to 666 in a Babylonian numbering system. So does witchcraft. So does New York. And a lot of other words that are all seem to be significant in this plot. We have a world wide web, as if some big spider spun a web to capture everything, right? We have an internet. Well. And I'm glad we can invade cyberspace with the gospel. It's there. And it'll be there until the Lord comes. Unless he does something to wipe it out ahead of time, but until he does, we'll keep invading it with the gospel. We'll broadcast over it. We'll give them something to listen to. But there are so many people that aren't there because of a good reason. And they'll look at that screen, and they'll put their right hand on the mouse and their forehead up to the screen, and they'll click away. WWW, World Wide Web. And what is the Hebrew alphabet? And remember? Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Ha, Vav. The sixth letter, pronounced Vav, looks like a W and is the equivalent to W. WWW is 666 in Hebrew. World Wide Web. http://666. Forehead on the screen, right hand on the mouse, go into the web as a snare. And they're pulled into this garbage dump of Satan. Thank God we can get a message across to some of these people. You can go into the marketplaces as Paul did. The marketplaces were full of sin and evil and prostitutes and every kind of degradation you could think of. Paul went into the marketplaces and brought the gospel. You see, this world, the whole world lieth in wickedness. And as I mentioned, I don't know if it was a week or two ago, that word lieth means sprawled out as if in a sleep or as if a drunk is sprawled out in the gutter. The whole world lieth, is sprawled out in wickedness. Fully engulfed in it. How much of it? The whole world. Our educational system is a scam. Our economy is a scam. Our government is a scam. That's why it's called Uncle Scam. It's all deception and evil. I'm telling you, you might say, but you're pulling a rug out from under us. What is good? There's none good but one, and that is God. And Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. There's only one direction to look, and that is to Jesus Christ. And I must make these connections. Rick Warren is a charlatan traitor. Barack Obama is a mass murderer via abortion. Come on, this guy. I guess anybody who grew up on snake meat and dog meat, it's got to affect you somehow. And his god, Lucifer, you know, he's trying to move us all into the realm of his snakes, beads, and idols of his ancestors. Now some might say, oh, come on, that's a racist statement. I didn't say anything about race. That's culture. That's their culture. Snakes, beads, and idols. He has no problem with it. He'll be anything. He'll be Christian. He'll be Muslim. He'll be anything that will advance him. He doesn't care. What's the difference? And he'll sit there in that Oval Office and he'll sign every kind of legislation that is anti-Jesus Christ. And he's already begun and he'll continue to do so. The numbers match. His program matches. His directives match. His objectives match. He's got to fix the economy, which is impossible. You know, they had more bank failures this past week. And a lot of them, they're not even publishing. I know I got a couple of frowns at M&I Bank when I said, did you know that your bank had nearly a $2 billion bailout? You know, M&I, Marshall and Ilsley, $2 billion. They kept saying, we're a strong bank, conservative lending. We don't have any trouble. Why did they need $2 billion? Well, actually, $1.79 or something like that, almost $2 billion. Something was wrong somewhere, or somebody knew somebody. I got these young women all rattled up there at West Bend Bank. They merged now with another bank, too. They're all merging. And I said, look at the poster on your wall. And it was FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which doesn't qualify as an insurance corporation because it has no reserves. They used to have a penny and a dollar. They don't even have that. They used to call Social Security insurance. Remember? FICA, Federal Insurance Contributions Act, they don't call it FICA anymore because there was a lawsuit and they proved they didn't have any money. They were flat broke. In fact, they were in the red. And so they forced them to take the word insurance out of it. Now it's Social Security. Now it's the SS. Anyway, I was talking to these girls. I said, look at that poster. It's Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Two hands shaking. And I was showing John this last week. I shook hands with him. I said, here's the way it was on the poster. And they had that thumb up, curled over, and bent around in an uncomfortable position to touch that knuckle, that, you know, Master Mason handshake there. There's the first knuckle, the space between the next knuckle, but they had that on the Master Mason knuckle handshake. I said, look what they're showing you there. She said, wow, that does look weird. When you shake hands, you wouldn't hold your hand like that. I said, it's a secret society. You talk about openings to witness. You can start anywhere. Go and look around. I see this no matter where I look. Folks, we are down to the wire. We truly are. In fact, it says in verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which are in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. He's saying it gets to a point where it's a blessing to die if you can die in Jesus. I look at this sometimes, I say, get me out of here. You know, all in due time. I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come. The time has come, I believe the time is about here, for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Those are the Christian people. We are supposed to be ripening in Jesus Christ, getting ready for his coming. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. We are gathered to safety. Notice, that's no secret rapture. This is an event everybody knows about. Immediately then, not after some seven-year thing, but immediately, what happens? And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar. Notice, here's another sickle, a different one now. This is a different purpose. Which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. These are all the other people being brought into the winepress of the wrath when God presses his wrath. And the winepress was trodden without the city. See, we are gathered unto the holy city, aren't we? This is without the city. This is outside. This is different. And blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs or stadiums. So what you have is a picture of ultimate judgment. First, we're quickly gathered to safety, and then the wrath comes. That's how fast it will be. And I believe that God is about to gather us together, but we must be ripening. You see? Getting closer to God, getting more spiritual, being strengthened in Him, finding more depth in prayer, more of a love for the Word. We must be growing. We must be filled with the Holy Ghost, or seeking to be filled. And if you're seeking, you will be filled with the Holy Ghost. God will never, ever turn you away. That's what we're facing. Who knows what will happen between now and next Sunday, when, if the Lord wills, I'll speak again. But so much happens so quickly. Watch and pray. Watch this economic situation that's leading up to the mark of the beast. You and I don't need it. We already have the earnest of our inheritance, the seal of God in our foreheads. We have the name of Jesus Christ. Let's be true to the gospel and true to the word. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we are in such a situation here because the world, with all of the forces of darkness, come against us on every side. We live in this, Lord, even though we're not of it. We live in this environment. Thou knowest. But Lord, by thy Spirit, thou art able to sustain us, and this truly can be our finest hour, when our light can shine more brightly in the darkness. Help us, Lord Jesus, to always be faithful to thee, to stand up for thee, O Lord, to reprove the earth, the world, the inhabitants of it, to reprove them of sin, and to stand fast, O Lord, in the commandments and in thy word that thou hast given. Guide us and direct us, I pray. Be with us and let Satan have no power in any way to hinder us. But help us now to be faithful unto thee. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Praise.